Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
God is absolutely amazing. And when you tap into who he is and you stay connected to him, he will take you, the Bible says, from faith to faith and glory to glory. In other words, you'll just keep plumbing the depths of who he is. Do you want to know Jesus like that? Yes. Amen. Maybe he's, well, maybe, I don't know, kind of, maybe. But, you know, as long as you stay connected to the vine, the life of God will continue to flow in you, and you will become hungry for more and more of Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 16, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, probably one of the most famous passages of Scripture in the church today, because we always go to this Scripture when we're introducing people to Jesus. But I want to talk a little bit about how important it is for us to really not just talk about love, but to experience the real love of God. I mean, for real, for real. I believe that the greatest fear of any human being is that they won't be loved. We can deal with all kind of tragedy, all kind of turmoil and stuff, but when we feel that we will not be loved and we will be left alone, I think that is the greatest fear that grips the heart of people. And that's why I believe that this passage about God's love is so important, that it not just be something that we use to do theological training or to just introduce people to the concept of Christianity, but it really becomes the place where we actually live. Hallelujah. The Bible is not really primarily a theology book, although there's great theology in the Bible. It really is a relational book. It's about healing broken relationships and healing broken hearts and teaching us how to live in a world so that we can be continually connected to God and others, so that we will never feel that isolation and that fear of not being loved. The Word of God trains us and instructs us on how to be connected to God and to others forever. Hallelujah. And that's really what the church is all about. It's teaching us how to connect to God and how to connect in a community. What a beautiful community here. Luke, this is absolutely amazing to see all these amazing servants of God and folks that are seeking and searching and having a heart that's yearning after God. You are in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Amen. And this is God's glory to you and to us that we get a chance to experience him. I really enjoyed the worship time tonight. What an amazing worship leader and worship team you have. You have a rich, rich experience of God's grace upon your life just to be a part of the worship service tonight. Amen. Sing those songs from your heart. Let it get all down in your bones, you know. Jeremiah said, your word is like fire shut up in my bones. You know, get it in your bones so that it becomes the way that you live, the way that you breathe, the way that you do life. And you'll always find strength and help in whatever the situation that comes, because we live in a fallen and broken world, but we have a God who's magnificent. We have a God who's amazing. We have a God who's all-powerful. We have a God who's all-knowing. We have a God who's all-loving. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Hallelujah. We live in the sight of God. And the good news tonight for us is that living in the sight of God, he knows everything about us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. He knows you the best and he loves you the most. I hope that becomes a reality to you in a deep, deep way. He knows you the best and he loves you the most. Because what our greatest fear is that if people get too close to us and really get to know all of the stuff about us, that they won't like us anymore and we'll be on the outside of love, and that fear that we have will have come true, because after all, I'm not worthy of being loved. But I want you to know that God looked at creation. He looked at man, his crowning achievement of creation, hallelujah. And he looked at us in our broken state and he says, I love you so much that I'm going to give you the very best that I can. Why would a God do something like that? We didn't deserve anything. The wages of sin is death. But he looked at us and he said, I love you. Why? Because the very nature of God is love. God is love. And so coming to God is the best thing that any person can ever do in their life, because it alleviates you from the greatest fear that you struggle with, is that you won't be accepted and you won't be loved. So if you haven't made that step, tonight is a great time for you to step right on and say, well, if God loves me and he knows all my ugly spots, amen, and he loves me enough that he would come and give his life for me, I better get to know him, because, you know, I'm not really worthy of being loved that deeply. Hello? But he loves you just like that, so much so that he will never leave you alone. We were created for relationship with God. Nothing else will fill the void. Nothing else will fill that place in our hearts until we come to know him. There's a passage in Romans chapter 8 I want to read to you in verse number 1, because it talked about there's condemnation. There's a sentence of condemnation that we live under until we come into that place of fellowship with God. But Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, he says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What was Paul saying here? When he got to chapter 8, the book of Romans is an amazing book that really shares the heartbeat of God in a great way in just one place in the Bible. But when Paul said, therefore there is now no condemnation, he was summing up some things that he was saying before. What was he saying before? What was he saying in those first 7 chapters? He was saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you agree with Paul? He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he goes through all of the things about the law and how the law was a master to try to teach and bring us to a place that we would recognize that we can't live a life separated from God on our own. And he gets up to chapter 7 and he talks about this war that was going on inside of him. When I desire to do good, evil is present, and I do some things I don't desire to do and they just keep creeping up. And he was just having all these, it seemed like a battle or a turmoil that was going on the inside. But then he connected to the eternal life that was at work in him. And he says, therefore, because of this eternal life that is at work in me, because I belong to Christ now, I am not a condemned person. I want you to know that you're not condemned tonight. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You say, well, that sounds like very basic. The reason it is basic, but the reason it's so profound is because of where we live and how we live and the pressures that we're under and the challenges we face and the temptations that come our way. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means those who are in a relationship with him. Amen. How many of you are in a relationship with Jesus? You know Jesus. Amen. Then there is no condemnation because you are in Christ. You are in relationship with him. And when you're in relationship with him, then all of the condemnation of the sin is broken because Jesus bore in his body the punishment for our sin. And now we are free because of what Christ has done. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, this is something we have to live out on a daily basis. First of all, the three components of faith is we hear a message and we kind of give an intellectual assent. Yeah, that sounds right, reasonable. And then there's the daily walk of faith where we have to actually grind this out and actually live it out and persevere in what we believe. In spite of all the things that we see that say what I believe is not working. Are you with me? And then the third component is obedience. I obey and I do what the word says. And that's how our faith works. We believe it because we hear it because faith comes by hearing. And then daily we apply the principles of God's word. And then we obey the commandments of God. And then we begin to walk in an authority that God has given to us. How many of you want to walk in an authority so that you have the ability to walk over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy? Amen. That authority comes from this place of knowing that you're loved by God. If you ever get to a place that you feel like you're on the outside of the love of God, you can't walk in authority, because as soon as you begin to speak the word of God, the accusing of the brethren will always rise up to try to tell you it's not working for you, so why are you telling someone else? And so the authority to live the life of faith comes from the truth that Jesus has forgiven you, that you are no longer condemned, and you are loved, 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 loved by God. Do you really feel loved by God? Do you really feel loved by God? I didn't say if you believed it. I said, do you feel it? See, the reason I said that is because sometimes we try to separate our feeling from our faith. I want a faith I can feel. Amen. It ain't nothing wrong with that. It's like, well, no, you just need to be intellectual, brother. And no. Okay, yeah, okay, well, I'm intellectual. But listen, right now, I need a feeling that it's all gonna be all right. Hey. Amen. I need a faith I can feel. Hey, thank you, Lord. We sometimes get a little too big for our britches, as they used to say down south where I grew up, because we start living out of our head rather than living out of our heart. But when we live out of our heart, there's always this emotional attachment that goes with it. Emotions are just emotions. They're not bad. Hello. I just heard somebody got married recently, and I'm sure there's some emotion there somewhere. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So all emotions ain't bad. Glory to God. It's about living those emotions out in the light of the truth and in the light of God's love. Amen. And that's when our faith really takes on fire and power and authority. So if we want to have authority over the enemy, we want to have authority over the wicked schemes of the enemy, we have to always go back to the basic. I'm loved by God, and there's nothing I can do to change his mind. He's going to love me when I didn't know him. He loved me while I was in sin. He loved me when I didn't care anything about his word or his kingdom or his church or his people or my mama, my daddy, my no. I didn't care about nobody. He loved me because he just looked at me and he had this emotion that says, I love you. God, why? I'm not a lovely person. I just love you. But Lord, why do you love me? I don't know why. Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. Amen. Are you glad he did? Amen. I'm so glad that he loved me. Amen. The essence of life is in the intense understanding of care and concern that God has for us. I read this quote the other day. I thought it was kind of interesting. I'll just give it to you. It says, a person entirely unconcerned with himself is dead. Sounds reasonable. A person exclusively concerned with himself is a beast. Hello? That means because you're going to step on everybody else because nobody else matters. And a person who's concerned with other people is a real human being. And what God's love does is it brings us back from the depravity of sin, hallelujah, and we're able to live up to the image of our creation. We were created in the image of God, and God is love. And guess what? He created us to be people of love. And when we come back to that place, then the world doesn't revolve around us. We care about God, and we care about other people, and God moves us into a different place. And then we learn how to live and walk. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? It's that when he says go left, you go left and you don't go right. When he says go right, you don't go left, you go right. Amen. I was in the military for 10 years. I was in the Air Force, and they taught us how to march, you know, up, two, three, four. And then when they would have different ceremonials, when some of the big wigs and generals would come to the base, we would put on this parade where they would give out medals and things like that. And so we had to march by and salute smartly as we marched by, and everybody had to be in formation. And there's always one person here that was bouncing. That was bouncing up in the formation because that person was not in step with nobody but themselves. They had a different drum beat that they were marching to, and it was always interesting to see who would get off cadence, and their head would be bouncing up, and you could see, it's like, because everybody's supposed to be moving at the same time, so it's seamless. But when you see a head popping up, it's like, okay, that person is not with it. They are not walking by the step, okay? And when we're not walking in the Spirit, our head is bouncing up and it becomes a target for the enemy. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we're under cover. We're under the cover of the anointing. We're under the cover of the blood. We're under the cover of the authority of God's word. We're under the authority, under the cover of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And the enemy can't use you as a target practice. That's what it means to have on the full armor of God. You got to have that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, and your feet covered with the gospel of peace so that you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, and you're undercover, and there's an authority about your life that keeps you from being picked off so that you're able to stand, and after having done all, keep on standing and declaring the goodness, the grace, and the love of God to a generation that is fearful that they will never, ever be loved. And them being loved is not about joining a club. It's not about joining a group. It's about coming to know a God who loves them and who imparts a grace to them by his Spirit so that they too will understand the rapturous love that God has for them. And it's not based on their performance. It's not based on how good they've been. It's based on God says, I just love you because. But God, when I look in the mirror, I don't see love. I see crazy. I see every decision that I made was bad. I see every choice that I made was bad. I see every person that hurt me. I see every person I hurt. I see all of these things. That's what I see in the mirror. Where do you see love? He says, I see love because I see you through the blood of my Son. Hallelujah. And when he sees us through the blood of his Son, he imparts strength to us so that we're able to persevere and represent him in a world that is fearful that they will never be loved. We can deal with all kind of chaos and brokenness, but if we're not loved, our lives don't seem to matter a whole lot. But tonight, I want you to hear clearly in your spirit that you are loved by God. In such a profound way, hallelujah, not because of what you've done or what you haven't done, but because he created you. And he says, I have a plan for you that my son is going to work out if you would just get in step with the Spirit. Just get in step with who I am. Colossians 2:6 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Hallelujah. When we receive Christ as the Lord, we have to continue. Say with me, continue. We have to continue to live our lives in him. This is a continual process of God working in us day in and day out, correcting us, course correcting us, helping us to find that path so that we're not bobbing up and down and becoming a target for the enemy. And then we become rooted and built up in him. There's a strength and a stability so that when the winds blow, when the storms come, you won't fall. We were singing about a house when the wind came and the wind blew. You know, we were built on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what it means to be built up. If we're built up on the bedrock of a revelation that Jesus loves me. So devil, get off my turf, get off my family, get out of my mind, get out of my life. Jesus loves me, and I'm going deeper into that love so that no matter what you throw at me, I will stand in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can't be built on anything else other than love. You go, well, you know, there's different messages of faith and prayer, and all of those are wonderful, but all of them have to be based in love. Those spiritual disciplines. If you're not rooted and grounded in love, not a concept of love, not a fantasy about love. You know, there's so many love songs. Ooh, we won't get into that, but but we have all these fantasies about what love is all about. But when you really come to know Jesus and know that he loves you, hallelujah, and you're rooted and grounded in that, people can come up and they can say all kind of crazy stuff. And you go, yeah, well, thank you, and your mama. But no. No, wait a minute. No. What you say, but my father loves me, amen. Hallelujah, glory to God. So we got to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Hallelujah. And when we're rooted and grounded in the love of God, whatever storm comes, whatever wind blows, you will stand. Your house will stand. Hallelujah. Because it's not built on sand. It's not built on a fantasy. It's not built on the latest slow jam on the radio or whatever. It's built on a revelation that God loves you. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that he's like madly in love with you? I mean, do you know that he like love loves you? Do you understand that he thinks about you all the time? And he's not thinking about how to get even with you. He's thinking about how to bless you. He's thinking about how to bring more grace into your life. He's thinking about how to bring more peace into your life. He's thinking about good stuff because he's a good God and everything that he created was good and everything God does is good. There's no shadow of turning in him. He's a good God. Amen. And when he's thinking about us, that's where we need to be rooted and grounded. Hallelujah. Because when we're rooted and grounded in that love, the revelation of that love, hallelujah, when we think about what Jesus did in shedding his blood on the cross and taking the crown of thorns and the nails in his hands and his feet and the spear in his side, when we understand that love, is there's no greater love that anyone can have than that a person would lay down their life for them. And so Jesus laid down his life for us, and we have to keep getting rooted and grounded and rooted and grounded and rooted and grounded and rooted and grounded in that love experience. Not just the thought or the story. It has to become more than a story. It has to become something that's very, very real. Anybody ever felt rejection before? You don't have to raise your hand, but amen. Glory to God. I think we can all raise a hand or a foot or something or a toe. But I think we can all understand what rejection is like. It hurts, doesn't it? Not fun, right? Jesus came to peel away the rejection so that we don't make decisions from a place of rejection, but we make decisions from a place of love. If we make decisions from a place of love and relationship, our lives will always be full and rich, and the grace of God will be seen on us, and people will want to know, what is that you have that I sure don't have? Because I see that everything in your life is not perfect, but you have this peace. Where does it come from? It comes because I'm rooted and I'm grounded in love. Not a story about love, but real love. I think what we do sometimes is we turn the Bible into these stories and we categorize them in our mind rather than experiencing them in real time. And the experience of God's love in real time is what we need now in this earth more than anything. And that's why Paul used that strong language of being rooted and built up in him, not in theology about him, not in stories about him, but rooted and built up in him as the person. It's building a personal relationship with Jesus. It's where our faith is strengthened and where we have this ability to be overflowing with thankfulness in the midst of a crooked and broken world. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The problem is we want God to walk with us rather than us walking with God. Like, God, I'm going down to the store. Come on. Make sure nobody mess with me. Did you stop to ask him, should you be going to the store at this hour of night? You might want to get a little wisdom before you do that. We want God to join us on our walk, but we don't want to join God on his walk. And that's why you come to Sanctus. That's why you're trained and instructed in the scriptures. That's why you come and you worship God, is so that you learn how to get on his territory. You get on his turf and you walk with him. Hallelujah. He says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And the reason we get in trouble and we get into that place that we're carrying out the desires of the flesh is because we want God to walk with us rather than us walking with God. Hallelujah. You know, we used to sing an old song down south that says, walk with me, Jesus, walk with me. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Amen. 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 He says, I'll walk with you as long as you walking in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. We can sing all kinds of songs, but are we walking with him? We want Jesus to walk with us. Amen. But he wants us to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. When Paul talked about this, not giving into the desires of the flesh, he wasn't saying that you shouldn't have physical desires. Paul didn't ask us to get rid of our physical desires so that we can become more enlightened. He simply says, don't carry out any desire that leads you away from the presence of God. Hello? Don't carry out any desire that leads you away from the presence of God, because in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there's his power, there's his authority, there's his wisdom, there's his grace. Hallelujah. And so really what Paul was saying is desires will come and desires will go, but make sure that you don't carry out any desire that lead you away from what God says is the way you to live. Very simple. How do we do that? By walking in the Spirit. I like this example I read the other day. It says, it's like telling someone your real problem is eating. I eat too much. I eat the wrong stuff and my body suffers. You can avoid the consequences by refusing to eat. It's like, really what he said? Refuse to eat? No. Hello? I mean, if you don't eat, stuff will change. But really what Paul was saying is you have to balance the need to eat with the desire to eat. So we have a need to eat. If you don't eat three meals a day, you know, you're going to get kind of weird, you know. Your blood sugar going to go all crazy on you. People around you is like, but brother, what's wrong with you? I don't know. I ain't feeling right. Well, here, eat a cheeseburger. Something ain't connecting up here somewhere. Your blood sugar done went too low or too high. You all over the place. No, he wasn't talking about don't eat, but you have to balance the need to eat and the desire to eat, because some of the desires to eat is stuff that we shouldn't be eating. Oh, I can desire. Chocolate ice cream. Amen. So sometimes we have a desire to eat stuff that we shouldn't eat. We have a desire to do things that we shouldn't do. Hello? But we need to eat to live. Amen. So what Paul was saying really about walking in the Spirit and not carrying out the desires of the flesh, he says you have to balance this thing by what is needed and not by just what you desire. Make the right choices. This is all part of walking with the Lord. When desire causes us to forsake activities of the right path, then we have gotten into the wrong path. We demonstrate our love for God by practicing loving acts towards others. The purpose of all the commandments is to provide us with a clear guide about to have the right character in how we carry ourselves daily. My message for us tonight is this. Get to know the love of God for real. I mean, it'll carry you through all kind of stuff, all kind of tragedies, all kind of ups and downs, all kind of joys and triumphs. When you know Jesus, I mean, really know him. Paul said, I want to know him in Philippians 3. In the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. It's knowing Jesus is what will get you through all of the stuff of life and cause you to be the most authoritative person around concerning the things of the kingdom. It's like, no, I need more faith. I need to pray more. We think about all these things, so we have a menu of things that we think we should do in order to make us a better Christian, when really it's about accepting what has already been done for us. Can I say that again? Not that you don't do your spiritual disciplines and pray and learn scriptures. All those things are extremely important. But understand and know is what God has done for us is the most important thing, and that is that he has loved us. So if I can say over the last 55 years plus that I've been serving Jesus, the more I know how much he loved me, the greater my passion for him grows. Because I know him, I'm getting to know him. But it's about what he's done, not about what we can do. So much of our teaching and philosophy of how we do Christianity is based on what we can do. And a lot of it's not based on what God has done. And I pray always, and I know that Luke is a powerful servant of the Lord, always come back to what has God done for me? Not what I can do to make him happy, what I can do to prove that I'm a great Christian, or prove that I'm worthy of anything. It's really about just knowing what he has done, accepting that on a deep level, and experiencing it. Say with me, experiencing. We need to experience Jesus. We need to experience the Holy Spirit. We need to experience fellowship in his presence. And it's in that experiencing that the greatest power and influence comes to our lives. And that's what God is calling us to. Maybe you were invited tonight by someone and you thought, well, I'm curious to go see what this is all about. My prayer for you is that God will reveal himself to you in such a profound way so that you will know that you're loved. Hallelujah. You see, when you know the love of God, you will be rooted and grounded, and nothing will be able to shake you out of place. Be rooted and grounded in the love of God. It's the greatest thing that I've learned and am learning is just how to be rooted in the love of God. I think some of you may have heard me share a little bit about my family growing up. My dad was a wonderful servant of the Lord, but my mother was an alcoholic, and I felt rejected by her when I was very young. I didn't understand Mom. Her drinking problem caused her not to be close to her children. I have 6 brothers and sisters, so 7 of us that were kind of distant from Mom. And we felt that rejection, but we loved her desperately. She was funny. She was a good cook. She could sing like nobody's business. I'd love to hear when she was putting clothes on the clothesline and she started singing. I was like, boy, she can sing. But she kept us at a distance because she had not experienced that love of God and she was not able to pass it on to us. My dad did the best that he could. But one day I came to know Jesus for myself. And it made me fall in love with my mom. So I wasn't blaming her for rejecting me. I wasn't blaming her for trauma and all that stuff. Because I got to know Jesus myself. And then I was able to give love to my mom. And be patient and to be gentle and to be kind. And to be long-suffering. Because when the love of God is in your heart, it changes you so that you're able to be a conduit of his grace into the earth. And you give love to others rather than waiting for someone to come and love you. Why won't somebody love me? Why won't somebody love me? I'm telling you, there's somebody who loves you. It's Jesus. And when I had that revelation and that understanding that came to my spirit, that Jesus loved me, I mean, I think I must have smiled for a month and couldn't get it off my face because I was like, Jesus loves me. He loves me. I'll tell my sister and brother, I say, Jesus loved me. And they go, well, he loved me too. But it was so real. It wasn't just a story in the Bible. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. It really became, he loves me. And it put me on a whole new trajectory of moving away from anger and bitterness and resentment and jealousy and all those crazy emotions. Paul says, when we walk in the Spirit, when we walk in the love, because God's Spirit is a spirit of love, when we walk in that love, we won't fulfill the desires of our flesh. We won't allow those emotions to overtake us. We will be able to balance those desires in such a way that we become a conduit of love to others rather than waiting for someone to come and love us. That's what God wants to do, is raise up an army of people who love God, love each other, and love the world. Love the people in the world into wholeness. Go deeper. Be rooted in the love of God. For God so loved you while you didn't care anything about him that he gave you everything. God, why would you do that? Because that's who I am. He loves you. You go, that sounds too fanciful. It sounds too amazing to be true because I go through so much stuff in my life. I want you to know that God loves you. Those are not just words. It's the truth. Jesus loves me. This this I know. Not just because the Bible told me so. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us. Because that's who he is. God is love. 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 Let him love you. Let him put his arms around you and say, child of mine, I'm with you all the time. If you were the only one, I still would have come because I love you, because I love you, because I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And his love is demonstrated in what he has done and what he keeps on doing for us. There's enough people in this room, if we really got rooted and grounded in the love of God, we could save the entire city of Brooklyn, the entire borough of Brooklyn, amen. Because people are looking for love in all kind of places, and they're coming up empty. But when we come with the love that we have received and we lavish it on others, and we're not blaming people, we're not angry with people, we're not angry with systems, we're not angry with government, we're not angry with the A-train or whatever it's called. Glory to God. There's so many things that we carry. It's like, oh man, why don't they clean up and do that? Stop! Jesus has done it all. Amen. Go deeper. Be rooted and grounded. Faith works by love. The gifts of the Spirit work by love. Everything works by love. It's so simple we can miss it. But it's not a theological concept. It's a relationship with the Creator of the universe that he calls us all to. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you that in this place, brothers and sisters are being rooted and grounded, hallelujah, in the love of Christ. And that's not just a theological thing, but God, is something that's real, that's happening in the heart. And the heart is just erupting with praise and with thanksgiving. The heart is being filled with joy. The heart is being filled with peace. Our lives are reflecting your goodness. There's a sweet fragrance and aroma of your grace that is in the earth because your people know love because they know you. Hallelujah. And from that place, we won't have to pray for revival, but revival will just happen because of the love of God that flows from heart to heart and life to life, restoring, healing, forgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a deeper understanding of your love so that we can walk with you and fulfill the upward call that is in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Can I pray for your leadership team before I go? All the people that serve in leadership in Sanctus, would you stand? I just want to pray for all of you. You are amazing, amazing people. All the volunteers, the leaders and the volunteers. Leaders and volunteers, amen. Hallelujah. Wow. What an amazing community. You love Jesus, don't you? Do you know that he loves you so much? Stay rooted and grounded in that love, because all the things that you're doing for the King comes from that place of love. It can't come from duty. It just can't come from any other place than the overflowing abundance of God's love in your heart. And I know that's why you do it. That's where you live. And God is going to grow that more and more and more and more. Father, thank you for these amazing volunteers and servants. I thank you, God, that the enemy will never be able to use their head for target practice because they walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father, that as they walk with in step with the Holy Spirit, that the love of God is seen on them. The love of God is experienced from them. The love of God is experienced by them. The love of God flows through them. And through that love, God, I thank you that revelation is coming to people's lives that they need to change. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in a new relationship with Him, they are a new creation. God, I thank you that many are entering into new relationships with you and becoming a new creation because of the witness of these amazing volunteers. Comfort them, strengthen them, give them a double portion of your grace and anointing upon their lives, Lord, so that they will continually be a reflection of your glory in the earth. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a shout of victory. Amen.
We hope you are encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org, or you can follow us on our Instagram at sanctusnyc.